a shifting of people. Okay. Thank you. For people listening on the podcast, people are shifting around the room to make more space for our server to come through. And the food and bills. Thank you to Hemingway's for having us. Thank you, Joan, and thank you, Christopher, for the invitation, and thank you to the Mad Women. I originally was not going to be reading any mother poems tonight, but I guess that changed. This is called The Slide of Water. Spring came the day my mother died. A gentle rain, the sky heavy and gray, the ground sodden with muddy weight. 6 a.m., half light, rain shining through the hospice window, creeping towards but never touching my mother's deathbed. It rained all day into the night. The ground saturated the roots of trees and coffins in cemeteries. My mother never felt this, the slide of water against her bones, her dead skin. She died in fire, complaining to the last that the room was too hot. She was cremated, all the moisture torn from her body until there was nothing left but the dry, brittle bones she relied on all these years. Sometimes I wish she had been buried, felt the cool embrace of earth, a touch of rainwater on her brow, a cold compress on feverish flesh, an endless bed of moss and earth and roots to hold and support her as she sagged, the support she'd wished for all her life, yet pushed away. Too proud, too afraid to ask for a soft, nourished, watered place where she could truly fall apart, down to her bones, where no one would berate her, no one would shame her, only gently lay her down until she was still. These next few are from the workshop I do. We do prompts based on the Emperor's Writers and Artists method. And this one, this particular prompt was either spring or kindness or magic. It was a weird day. I can't get up when it's still dark out, these early days of autumn before the clocks fall back. It's unnatural, I think, waking up before dawn, before the sun even does. Who are we to arise before an ancient celestial giant does? It's times like these when I want to hide in bed, rub my legs back and forth under the cool covers, wait for my cat to knead my chest under the thick blanket. It's not a day for waking up. It's a day for sleeping through the hardest winter, fat and indolent like bears do, relying on my own stored energy to get me through the winter. Perhaps that's why winters are so hard for me as a spoony, no energy to draw upon. Yet I force myself to get up, put on clothes, go to work, all those things my winter body says are not necessary. Stay warm, stay home, stay safe. You are not meant to be out like this. There is a thicket of honeysuckle in my neighbor's yard, still blooming in this late October, almost November. It is so strange to smell its sweet scent of air, its sweet scent in the crisp, dying air of autumn. It is so sickly, it is unrecognizable. It needs the warm, moist air of summer to make sense. Same with the pot of alyssum in our backyard, a shock of bright, powdery purple against the yellows and browns. I know they are blooming because the climate is changing, blooming longer, later, again, than I ever remember. I know it is shifting faster than I can keep up. If there is no more winter, when will we rest? Thank you. When I wanted to be free, I cut my hair. I'd had it relaxed for years, and after so much, I wanted it shorter and shorter, the damaged length cut off until I was soft and kinky again. I never stepped into that salon again, never saw those flat irons and tubs of Vaseline, save from the barber's chair where I got my hair cut from then on. I think every woman goes through a phase, a moment of cutting or wanting to cut one's hair, leaving it so short it's just shy of skinning, beyond a bob or pixie or even buzz cut. A moment when we want all worry gone, all weight on our head gone, to feel the sweet, cool wind on our scalp, just over our brain, and go, ah, now I have time and room to be, to breathe, to think without all that weighing me down. Is this what men feel like all the time? Just wide eyes and a wide mouth and a smile that could eat the world for breakfast. I'm going to read two more. At the post-funeral lunch for my husband's uncle, a split dining room, rather much like this one, one side, us. Heavy pasta, dark wood, black clothes. On the other side, sunroof, hors d'oeuvres, pale blue walls, a baby shower. It was a comfort to us. Were we a curse to them? The mom-to-be, long, shiny, swirling hair, maxi satin dress, swollen belly, moved easily through our crowd to get to hers. I said, congratulations, clad in black head to toe. She smiled, said thank you, and moved through the dark room into the sunlit one. Our grief did not seem to touch her, glowing as she was, mom-to-be boutonniere on her dress. In this world, but carrying something not of it, not yet. Just as the pastor had carried my husband's uncle's ashes, something in this world, but no longer of it. Thank you again. Offerings. At my mother's bedside, long after she has died, I make her a white origami frog out of printer paper pilfered from the hospice welcome desk. I fold the rectangle into a square, crease it over and over, then tear off the excess. My mother taught me to mold and shape paper into wonders as a child, spending hours side by side at the dining room table, poring over her battered, oversized origami book. My tiny brown hands, her long thin ones, making cranes, lilies, and frogs. Cranes for peace, lilies for love, frogs always for going home, small colorful tokens on our car dashboard. I work silently, folding the paper on her bare side table, the only sounds the swish and snap of paper. The steps are embedded in my fingers, crane base for the body, crease here, open there, peak and reverse folds for the legs, blow air into the bottom to bring the body to life. Its belly is full and firm, its legs pointy and thick. I press down on its back, and it jumps in my palm. Carefully, I place it in her wrinkled, waxy hands, already growing pale and stiff. The frog remains there, after the funeral home picks up her body, wrapped in the sheets and lavender nightgown she died in the darkness of her body bag, in the darkness of her cardboard coffin, in the final blinding light of the fire that takes her home. Thank you.